Good morning. Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good to be a Christian. Now, just for you visitors, I'm second string. Okay. So, if you like today, remember, come back when first string's here. And if you don't like today, come back when first string's here. Okay. All right. I'm thankful for everybody that made the way out. I just want to say one thing to the young man that is considering the ministry. Maybe the Lord's leading him that way. Never run from it. It's not a good experience to run from the calling. Enough said. Spirit speaking. So, we're going to be talking, we're going to be in 2 Kings this morning, I'll be starting in chapter 22, but to get us started off, it was mentioned all the revivals going on in the area the last few weeks, and I heard some powerful stuff from Medina Community Church, the pastor speaking there, and Brother Tim Bell, he's a fellow, and I was going to tell y'all, they allow people from Wirt County even over here, so and we're considered Hill Jacks, so everybody is welcome here, whether you're from the metropolis of Ravenswood, Ripley, Parkersburg, Mineral Wells, and even Wirt County. So I hope you feel welcome here today. We proclaim the gospel. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The only way to eternal life is through the shed blood on the cross. That is the foundation that is laid here, and there is no other way to heaven but Jesus Christ. Okay, so Brother Tim Bell was preaching the other night, and he was talking about, I'll just read his text for a little bit, and it's in Genesis chapter 26, and his scripture was, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." And then going up to verse 18, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after their names by which his father had called them." Verse 19, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." With that being said, can you see the comparison in our world today? I'm 66 years old. I watched a lot of the World War II documentaries, and so I've seen the progression of our nation after, and I've seen that being the turn in human life, in relationships with God. Yeah, everybody was on their knees in prayer for their loved ones that was serving in World War II. And then we come home to after the war was, and then the documentaries I seen show everything is just good. Everybody has a house, two kids, a car, a picket fence, you know, the world in which we all think is the perfect world. So I think that was the beginning of stagmatism in the homes. Now, in my own personal experience growing up, some may remember, I remember it was in the 60s, the sexual revolution and all that garbage started. And then in the 70s, our TVs, we as young men and young ladies could see television, and the stuff started pouring into our homes. You remember that? Do you remember the transition? If you think about it, you know how Satan is. He just sneaks along. Hey, Eve, you won't die. He's still doing that today to all of us. He's telling us, it's okay to do this and do that. It's okay to live that way. It's okay in each and everything. So, I was thinking about our wells. The Philistines had filled in the wells of the church. Agreed? I see a lot of heads shaking. And if you don't see it, your head's in a bucket. Okay? I'm telling you. You know, I worked for the city of Ripley for 7 years. And I could see the world right there in our little city of Ripley. And I spent lots of time as a young man in the city of Elizabeth. Yeah, it is a city. Okay? We don't have a light, but it is a city. But I can remember running the streets over there as a young man. And then you won't recognize it today. What you see. You see the world. Back then, the world was in New York City. The world was in Chicago. The world was in the big cities. That'll never come here. It's here. It's right here. It's in our churches. It's in our pews. It's in our pulpits. Our wells. As Tim Bell preached. Now, I don't want to take anything away from his message, because that was powerful and spoke to my heart very much so. But the wells are filled in. And it's up to us that's gathered right here in his name. It's up to the ones that are seeking the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the ones that seeking to serve the God, the creator of each and everything. I hope you believe that God created each and everything by his spoken word. That's Bible. Our foundations have got to be built on the Bible. And he's referring to they were digging and getting back to the pure water. How often is the Word of God considered pure water? How often do we hear in Revelation where the water flows right from the throne? That's the source of truth, the source of right, the source of hope. So we're going to talk about an example of Josiah. And if you've not heard of Josiah, I'll give you just a quick little recap. He is a king, and I'm not sure how far down the line from David that he was, but I can tell you his grandpa, Manasseh, was a king that did evil in sight of the Lord. His father, Amon, was a king that done evil in sight of the Lord. So let us go to our text, and if you would, let's all stand as we read God's word. I'm going to read verses chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, and 10 and 11. Chapter 22, verses 1, 2, 10, 11. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in sight of the Lord. Repeat, and he did that which was right in sight of the Lord, and all walked in the way of David, his father, and turned not aside to the right or to the left. Verse 10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king, that's Josiah, the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Let us pray. Lord God, we have your word open before our faces here this morning, Lord God. We call out right now for your guidance, for your presence, for you to be present in the person of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to dwell within us, to guide us, direct us, to get ourselves out of your way and let you have full control. Let every word that's spoken, every song that's sang, every action that's taken here this morning be done to bring glory and honor to you. We pray for our pastor right now as he's traveling. Take care of him, guide and direct him and his family, and continue to bless his ministry. Again, I ask for you to forgive me and these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Amen. Thank you all. Can be seated. And as we look at the world today, we can see our wells are full. But if you're paying attention, we're seeing a flicker. with the event that happened to a young man just a few weeks ago. Everybody knows Charlie Kirk. It has opened some eyes. And as we talked the other night, you know, the wishy-washy people right now in churches or whatever, and those that are on the borders, you know, they're scuttling over to the church side right now, seeing what's going on. But my point is right now, we got to open them wells so we can show, so we can live, so we can experience what God has and open the eyes to what Satan is doing in this world. So just a few notes about what Josiah did. Verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that he sent Shaphan, the son of Uzziah, and the son of Mesullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go to Hilkiah, which is the high priest that was in, that he may summon. So I'm just going to put it in layman's terms. He told his clerk to go to Hilkiah, which was the priest at Jerusalem, because at the time they were trying to rebuild the church. It had been decimated by idol worship. It had been strewn by all the garbage that the world had taken, that the prior kings had allowed, the idol worship, the alternative lifestyles was running rapid at that time. And we're even going to see where they were sacrificing children at the time. Okay? And Josiah was wanting to do right. And where did he start? At the temple. He sent his scribe there to talk to the priest and tell him what they are gathering in to give to the workers that are rebuilding the walls, that are relaying the foundations, that are reestablishing the church, the temple. See any comparison there? It says, verse 8 says, and Hilkiah the priest said to Shaphan, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. So that book must have been hidden, must have been ignored. What book can you think of that's more ignored in our world today? That even those of us with good intentions, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to start reading the Bible more, I'm going to start reading the Bible more, and we've kicked the can, kicking the can, and kicking the can. So what stirred Josiah and said, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the word to him and said that they had gathered the money and found in the house and delivered it into the hand of them that was doing the work that have the oversight of the house. And we're right back to what happened. Shaphan read Josiah the book. That is where we start to dig the wells out, is with the book. And remember, when I'm talking about the book, I hope everybody under the sound of this voice understands that the book is the Word of God. So, in David, he was torn. He rent his clothes. How often have we heard that in the Scriptures? They rent their clothes because they were so upset. And when he heard the Word, he realized the evil that his grandfather and his father and some of the other kings prior had done and allowed. Look what's been allowed in our country. Look what's been allowed in our country. Can I say that again? Look what's been allowed in our country. And why is that? Because the church is set quiet. The church has compromised. And I was going to preach that even if you guys wasn't here, so just so you know. which I try to preach. I set out to preach what God lays on my heart, and this has been on my heart for a couple of weeks now. So, there again. Says, now, go ye inquire of the Lord, verse 13, for me and for the people and for all Judea, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. We've been warned. We learned about that in the Sunday school lesson today. He gave the dreams, and a man of God, Joseph, went and explained the dreams, and he did it under God's guidance. He didn't do it off happenstance, often. Well, I think we seen a video one time, and the guy was interviewing a Jewish young man on a college campus. And he said something about God, and the guy says, well, to me, God is, if you're making up God in your own mind, you're making up your own God. The Word of God describes God and Him completely. So that book has stirred the heart of Josiah, and does he just sit back and do nothing? If you'll read on, and I encourage you, chapter 22 and 23, and that's about it for the kingdom, the reign of Josiah. But really, really, really read that and look at that. Let's see. And the king sent, and chapter 23, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, him and the priests. He called out all the big dogs, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. This word has power to change. This word has power to lead. This word has power to correct. This word has power and authority. So he wants everybody to hear the word. Do you want everybody to hear the word? You know how that happens? We tell them. You and me, Ron Amos, and everybody else in this room, we tell them. Now, Satan has whispered in our ears, oh, you'll just offend them and make them mad. Can you hear that? You'll just offend them and make them mad. I responded to that. I was afraid to talk to people for fear of they won't like me. Let the preacher do it. Let the Sunday school teachers do it. I know a guy. Yeah, he'll tell them. If it's on your heart, God wants you to tell them. Amen? Amen? Amen. We're allowed to shout amens here. So he's got them all. He brought them all in, brought the people, and he called out all the people out of the hierarchy of the church and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, and brought them all together till they could hear the word of God. And then he commands the high priest, verse 4 in chapter 23, Hilkiah the high priest, of the second order, the keepers of the door, bring forth out of the temple all the vessels that were made for Baal, for the grove, for all the host of heaven, and burn them in the field of Kidron, carried ashes them to Bethel. He was digging. He was digging that dirt the Philistines had thrown in. He was digging the idols. He was digging the false gods. He was digging all the garbage that had made his way into the church. Church, are we going to be, we got to be digging. We got to be digging. Not pointing fingers. Not being wishy-washy. Not compromising. But standing on the true Word of God. Because it's clear about the idol worship. It's clear about the alternate lifestyle. It's clear about all the evil that we see that is tried to be made acceptable. I'm not saying hate. The church better never have any hate. But it's to not accept the sin. Okay? And that's accept your sin, my sin, their sin, his sin. You know, we always talk about they. Well, who is they? Well, in a world that we live, they, or is anybody don't agree with me? Well, that's not the case. It's the people, those that have rejected the Word of God. And you ain't going to get them to see the love of God by beating them over the head with a Bible. We're going to show them the love that God has, that He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin. My sin. When we're looking at others in a way that we got to remember, God saved me too. My sin was just as filthy as anybody's. Okay, so He ordered this to happen. So He started digging. He put down the idolatrous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high place. Could you imagine the things that would go on in them church, in the temple that was going on. And have you seen some of the examples of things that go on and have went on in libraries recently? If you know what I mean. You know, those who don't know, it shows of alternate lifestyles, to say it that way. Yep. But anyways, that defiles the church. Could you imagine that going on right here? No. Verse 10 in chapter 23, and he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Moloch. They were burning up their kids. A sacrifice to Moloch. And how are children being sacrificed today? I'll leave it at that. Verse 13, in the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded to Ashtoreth, and abomination to Zidonians, and the Chemosh, and abominations of the Moabites, and for the Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. He put a stop to all that was going on. And it sounds like he took immediate action. Now, and I wrote this down as I was thinking about this a little bit ago, because we think, you know, how could he do that? Do you think he had some opposition? Huh? Now, this is real. This really happened right here. And what we see in this world today is really happening right here. Do we see any opposition against the church, against the ways of the Lord today? Huh? Do you see that? If you don't, get your head out of that bucket. Because the opposition is running rampant. He's desperate. Satan is desperate, and he's seeking whom he may devour. And he wants our kids. He wants our kids. Um, And I'm just going to read verse 20 in chapter 23, and then I'll read one more verse, and then we'll move on. But he says, "And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem." Let me tell you, folks, he's not fooling around. Well, that's mean. And in our world today, that sounds mean. But you know what death is? I've learned that death is not the tragedy that the world proclaims it is. The tragedy is dying and going to hell. Death for a Christian is jubilation. Church, we got to dig all them wells out and throw the lies that have been spewed upon us about all the stuff. Search the truth. And again, I emphasize you to read chapters 22 and 23 of 2 Kings. I'm going to finish up this part right here. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and wizards and the images and idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. Why did he do that? Listen to what it says. That he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. He was determined. And you know he was up against opposition. But he didn't stop. He didn't bend. He didn't break. He didn't whine. He didn't give in. He continued on. Church, keep digging. We got to keep digging. I think it was Tim Bell was talking about digging graves back in the day when six men from the congregation might go out to the graveyard and they'd dig down. And Tim said, "You always want to dig first. You get the soft stuff on top." He said they'd get down there where they'd have to use them spud bars and mattocks and maybe dig just get a little bit at a time. But that's what we're up against. But you know what? God's guiding us. God gives us the strength. Are you motivated to dig? To rebuild? Not to rebuild. To let the church flourish as God had said. And we're just going to go to another example. That was an example of Josiah and his determination when it was brought clear to his eyes of the Word of God. I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 10 and just read a few verses real quickly. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, "And they brought young children to him," and him referring to Jesus, "that he should touch them, and the disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child." Think of your children. Think of your grandkids. Think of that. And there's no stipulation for them to come and hug you. That's how we are to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to add stuff to it, but to take it humbly, sincerely, passionately. And then reading on, "And when he was going forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And you hear that question a lot. I want to go to heaven. We talked one time about there's two kind of wants tos. I want to be a better Christian, but I don't want to do what it takes to be a better Christian. I want to lose 20 pounds. But I don't want to do what it takes to lose 20 pounds. You see what I mean about the want-tos? Well, think of this as I read this. He said, when he going forth, one came running, kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, I bet ain't a murderer one in here. I bet all kinds of perfect people in here, according to that right there. That's physicalness. And just to back up, why callest thou me good when Jesus said, because he was referring to God as the source of good. Okay? Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. He said, and the young man said, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Easy enough, right? And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now I'm told that's the spiritual side of things. He didn't want to give up his way to serve Jesus in God's way. Let's do some digging, folks. Let's do some digging. I'm about done. One more. I remember as a young man in my older teens, I'd met a gentleman that was a Christian, and he was a real mentor to me. And I think I was 18, and he explained grace to me. I never heard of grace before. And I'm just going to talk just a little bit about grace, the gift of God through Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And just responding with that to that young ruler, he walked away. He had done the works. So he was trusted in all that he had done for salvation to inherit eternal life. But when Jesus says, reject yourself, repent. You know what repent? I remember learning what repentance means. And I thought repentance meant just stop doing it and then go back to doing it. But repentance is a 180. You turn and walk away from it. You put it aside. You come across it on your phone, something not good. You go on. You don't entertain it for no amount of time. You have a thought pop into your head. You move on. You don't entertain it. That is repentance, is turning away. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And I'll be closing right now. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart, stirred your heart, I invite you to come to the altar. And I invite you to respond to that, what's stirring in your heart right now. And I invite you to receive Jesus if you don't know him as your Savior. If you don't know him, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ alone. Joel, you want to play that?